Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. Where we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape. Definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in. And recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis, when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really couldn't devour him. And from that point then we hear a name change. Rearrange the game so now we gotta change lanes. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam show. Let's go!
We are here. We are live. We got another show, the new Tuesday Night Titans, live and in living color, funky like a monkey, if you will. We got a lot to talk about tonight, Derek. TNA, as effective October, the contract with TNA and Spike TV is severed. That's the big talk of the pro wrestling world the past couple of days. So we're going to do Name That Tunes part two. We're going to do Flavor of the Week of something else. But you know, when you deal with journalism, when you deal with talk shows, especially dealing with a current event theme, yeah, I had to kind of boot those until next week. We will be talking about the demise of TNA. And what I want to do, I'm going to go through, we're going to talk about TNA and just as a whole, and I know Derek's going to rant about TNA because he has had many negative things to say about TNA that he's bridled, because we have to be as neutral as possible when it comes to our feelings of a product as a whole. Now, we talk negatively about WWE, but we spend most of the show talking about WWE. We've done that for an hour and a half for 122 shows. So we talk about how we don't like the product, but we watch the product. So we try to find the good in the product. But when it comes to TNA, I try to be as neutral as possible when it comes to not just saying I hate the product. But they make it really tough for me to not to have a non-neutral stance when it comes to TNA wrestling. And so, like I said, as everybody know, as many people know, especially the hardcore pro wrestling fans, the contract with Spike TV, effective in the fall, in October, it will expire. So where do I go? We're going to talk about that later in the show. And, of course, we got our trivia. And I'm also going to go through the list of former TNA World Heavyweight Champions and just see if any of them would fare well in the WWE. I mean, that's really that's what is worth talking about. And I know some former TNA World Champions did well in the WWE, and we'll also talk about them. But for the most part, the long list of TNA World Heavyweight Champions were mostly TNA guys. So we're going to go through the list and see if they really would do well in the WWE of being a World Heavyweight Champion. So Derek, good to have you once again tonight, and we're going to have some fun as always.
As always, Pancake and Power Slam. We're here. This is it. Tuesday night, 11 o'clock Eastern Time, Western Time Zone, probably 9 o'clock.
It's actually 8.
O'clock.
It's 3 hour difference. Yeah.
All right. Time. Hey, anyway, but yeah, we're going to have another great show tonight. We've been on the air for I don't know how long now? 122,
23? 20, yeah. It's been a year, almost a year and 4 months, man. Almost 2 years and 4 months. That's what I meant to say.
We've been here. Audience has been there. We appreciate everybody. We love you guys. 347-84-8452 is the only number you need to have tattooed on your brain on Tuesday night.
Tuesday Night Titans. Absolutely.
Tattooed that on your brain Tuesday night. Do you want to talk to us? Do you want to talk to Chris Featherstone? You want to talk to Derek? We've got all kinds of stuff to talk about. In the world of wrestling, 90 minutes is never enough. But we
got to
cram it in, so let's get started.
Absolutely. The new Tuesday Night Titans, 90 minutes is never enough. We need to patent those two phrases. So if I hear other there's many other radio shows that I've been featured on and affiliated with and I've heard that are good shows. Now, there's something about Pancakes and Power Slams that's just really, really good. And for those who have been listening the past 121 episodes, they know that Pancakes and Power Slams, you know, it's worth listening to. I'll say that much. I'll be humble and modest. So, yeah. But if I hear other shows saying the new Tuesday Night Titans and 90 minutes is never enough. You know, I might have to get Clarence Mason on them, and you know, we're going to talk about that too. The Nation 2.0 is what I call them. They don't have an official name yet, but I call them Nation 2.0. We'll talk about that in the show as well. And of course, you know, at this point, you know, I might as well just talk about the SmackDown. It was a Roman Reigns show again, and that's the thing about what they're doing with Roman Reigns now. One of our originals, Ryan Fuqua, he and I talk all the time about random stuff, and especially pro wrestling, and we were talking about Roman Reigns the other day. I think it was either yesterday or today. We were talking about Roman Reigns, and we were talking about how Roman Reigns has the potential. Both he and I, and also Derek, we're big on Roman Reigns. We know that he is potentially the face of the company. We know all that, but the problem lies in the fact that they are pushing him too much too soon, and I was saying that on the previous show about Ryback and Dolph Ziggler and Damian Sandow and even Cody Rhodes to an extent, too much too soon, and just about all of them ended up, you know, jobbing, and even The Miz to an extent. Now, he has revived himself in this Hollywood gimmick that's mid-card level at best, but at least he's doing something. He's a mid-card champion. But for the past couple of years, he was definitely a victim of the too much too soon treatment and just his push. But here's the thing with The Miz, and that can also be argued, because The Miz, he went through a lot. He was the host of the Diva Search, and, you know, he came in as the reality, you know, person, reality TV person. He was on like two reality TV shows, Real World and Road Rules, and this is a true story. So he came in as, you know, just some cheesy, you know, reality show guy. And so he earned his stripes. I would say Miz earned his stripes, but the thing is with the Miz, the world title run that he had still seemed a bit too much. It just seemed too rushed to me. And I'm not saying it because of his time there, because he definitely paid his dues. He was in the WWE for about 5 years before he became World Heavyweight Champion, which someone like a Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels would still say that's not long enough, because they had to wait years and years before they won their first title. As a matter of fact, come to think about it, Bret Hart won his first title, 92, when he beat Flair? And he was in the... Yeah, it was 92, wasn't it? Because Flair won the Royal Rumble in 92, and he was feuding with Savage. That was WrestleMania 8, right? He was feuding with Savage. That was their WrestleMania match. And then later in the year, he was feuding with Bret Hart. So I think it was 92. I know Flair won in 92, but...
Well, Bret Hart lost the title in 92 at SummerSlam, the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, he lost the Intercontinental title. Perfect, right?
No, he lost to a Bulldog.
Oh, yeah, that was Wembley. He beat Perfect in 91 to win the title, and he lost it against Davey Boy Smith in 92 at Wembley. And so, yeah, I think it was early 93 when Bret, or might have, because we'll have the interns look at it and see what time or what year he won. But Roman Reigns, I like the guy. I like him a lot. I just hope creative doesn't mess up the fact that he is the new potential face of the company. And if they push him too quick, people are going to get tired very, very soon.
Yeah, people are going to get tired, obviously. And what I'm most afraid is, I think the WWE might almost want to give him a heel turn too quick. I can kind of see them doing something like that. But that's my two cents. But I like him a lot. Roman Reigns, he really stands out. All of them do. I mean, everybody from the Shield, I mean, has found kind of really quickly found their niche in being a solo act.
I don't know, man. I'm still not sold on Rollins and Ambrose, to be honest with you.
They're still big names, but not that in the long run it's going to do them good. But for an initial breakup, they're doing pretty good.
Yeah, I will say that. I will say that they have all found a place in the WWE, although I do think Ambrose is kind of still in limbo. I was thinking of possible opponents for Jericho to have at WrestleMania. And one of them was a heel Dean Ambrose. I think a heel Dean Ambrose against a face Chris Jericho. Because we have to think about it. Jericho, and many people know that as far as my WWE favorite wrestler is Chris Jericho ever since he... I mean, I've liked Chris Jericho ever since ECW days. That was back in the mid-90s. But, Yeah, I can say I'm about a 20-year Chris Jericho fan, but as many people know, my all-time favorite wrestler is Sting, but Chris Jericho's up there in the top five, because I would say five would be Booker T, four Jericho, three Dusty, two Steamboat, one Sting. So that's my top five. I think I've said that a few times before on the show. But as far as modern-day favorite, Chris Jericho, hands down, past 15 years. I think that Chris Jericho, sadly, though, he has six world title reigns, but sadly, just about all of them has been just transitional reigns, have been very short. And I think the longest reign that he had actually was his very first one when he won the Undisputed title in December of 2001. And then he lost to Triple H at Mania in 2002. So, he's Hall of Famer. He's one of the best in the world, period. You know, even almost 44 years old, he's still one of the best wrestlers in the world. But the problem is that Jericho really didn't leave much of a legacy in the WWE. He was a mid-card champion, about 9-time Intercontinental champion. He had some really good mid-card feuds with RVD and Edge. Kind of Edge, but more RVD. Had some decent feud with Kane. Rey Mysterio was a really good feud. Who would you say?
Benoit.
Oh, absolutely. Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero was another good feud that he had. So he had some good mid-card feuds, even his feud with Hardcore Holly. Not so much the China part, but his feud with Hardcore Holly was pretty good back in 99 era. And so even then, it was pretty good. His mid-card feuds was pretty good. And then he had a good feud with The Rock back in 2001. And then Triple H 2002 was decent. So he's had some good feuds throughout his time. But to say that he carried the WWE, to say that he had a meaningful title reign other than the first one, it's hard to say. It's really hard to say that Chris Jericho had a meaningful WWE World Heavyweight Championship reign. It's horrible for me. And I'm saying all this to say that I think that Chris Jericho should go into WrestleMania as a babyface, at least go in as a babyface, because the problem is he was heel every single World Heavyweight Championship run. Every single run, he was a heel, and he never really had an opportunity to establish himself as a babyface champion. It just seems like it was the easy way out to make him a heel champion, just to make him a transitional champion for someone else to really carry the title, which I don't think is fair because Jericho's a phenomenal athlete. So if I had my way, Chris Jericho would have one more World Heavyweight Championship, WWE World Heavyweight Championship run as a babyface and really carry the title for about 4 or 5 months, as long as his Fozzy schedule allows. But I think that you talk about your wishful thinking. I don't think that it's ever going to happen.
Yeah, it probably won't, and that's a shame. Because, I mean, everyone, how can you not like Chris Jericho? I mean, he's total package, and he has been forever. Just for the fact, I mean, he's a great gimmick. He's a great character. His in-ring talent is phenomenal. I mean, he's been with the best. He survived with the best. He's beaten the best. And it's just, you have a soft spot for Chris Jericho, so let's, yeah. I mean,
I do.
Carry the show. And his Fozzy schedule, that's got to be cool, too. And I think they're actually coming to a place near you here soon. So I want to keep your ears up for that. But Chris Jericho just epitomizes wrestling. I mean, he is a wrestler, and more than he is a superstar when it comes to wrestling business. So, you know, I don't think it's going to happen. That's a great analogy. I love that idea and the fact that you have, but no, I don't see it happening. It's not what's best for business according to modern-day WWE, but
best for business.
For what else makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Who would you have compete against Jericho at WrestleMania 31?
I'd, a Sheamus, maybe.
Jericho, Sheamus? That wouldn't be too bad, I suppose.
No, that wouldn't be bad at all. Maybe even a Bad News Barrett if he's going to be back by then.
Yeah, I can see that, too. I can see Jericho, Barrett. Those are two good. I think Jericho Sheamus can put in a good match, actually.
And Fandango.
Well, he tried that last year and lost, but failed. That was horrible. That was absolutely horrible.
But Chris Jericho being there brings a new light to Raw. It's awesome. I love it. And, I mean, he brings the crowd into it. He really does. He always does. He is the new showstopper.
Well, maybe the new old showstopper, because he's been around. And I tell you what, we'll get to Raw. And I definitely think that I definitely think that we had a little bit of Jericho 2000 moment that was very nostalgic, and it almost brought a tear to my eye because it was one of the best Jericho moments was, you know, early 2000s, late 90s, 99, when he was him and Stephanie would always go at it. He would call her a dirty bottom feeding, and you know the rest. Dirty, filthy bottom feeding, you know the rest. And so, yeah, that moment, I was hoping that he would say that just to go back almost 15 years, and he did it, and we'll talk about more of that later. All right, let's go to Raw. John Cena in-ring promo. How dare you allow me to not go to Raw without a trivia question? You got to be kidding me. What person uncovered his mask when he joined the Filthy Animals? What person took off his mask when he was a member of the Filthy Animals? Chat room, Twitter at Crave Wrestling, and let's go. Of course, John Cena opens up with the in-ring promo, and I figured that John Cena was going to be on Raw. I figured he was going to open up Raw because he wasn't on Raw last week because he was shooting a movie while Brock Lesnar was unveiled as the number one contender for his WWE World Heavyweight Championship at SummerSlam. And so Paul Heyman's client, Brock Lesnar, wasn't on Raw this week, of course, because he has limited dates and Paul Heyman's his buffer. And so him and Heyman have an exchange in the beginning. They both cut really good promos, I will say that. And I've said this before. Many people know I'm not a Cena fan, but Cena cuts good promos. When he gets serious and when he's away from all the cheesy crap, Cena cuts good promos. I will say that. And so the passion that was behind his promo, and he was going, you know, and it's really, really tough to go head-to-head with Heyman on the mic. It's really tough because Heyman's one of the best mic workers in pro wrestling history. And so I think he stood his ground. So I give John Cena kudos to that. And then who messes up the whole segment? Cesaro, who's not even aligned with Paul Heyman, but comes out and say, "You can't talk to my friend." Like, although we've decided to, you know, sever ties, whatever he said, you can't talk to my friend like that. And so that was just a horrible segue to a Cesaro-Cena match that was booked for that segment. That was just a bad segue. Well, you can't wrestle in sneakers, or you just can't wrestle. And it's like, I like Cesaro. He's one of the. I think he's a phenomenal wrestler. But when he's scripted to say things like that, I mean, who's really gonna want Cesaro to go over as a main event quality wrestler when he says just off the wall, just unexhilarating things like that. But I will say, though, that the match between Cena and Cesaro was really good, as I thought it was going to be, because Cesaro is just a phenomenal wrestler. But, of course, Cesaro loses again. I wrote an article on RealWrestling.net about just where does Cesaro go from here. it's really sad because he's starting to become a jobber now. And he was one of the people who were amongst the top four of the future. You had him, Bray Wyatt, Daniel Bryan, and Roman Reigns. Those were the four. And now Cesaro is just yesterday's news.
Yeah, he's yesterday's news, and that's kind of a shame. And I thought that was odd when he came out. And, Paul Heyman's no longer my manager. We parted ways, but we're still buddies. That's stupid. And, I mean, again, but yeah. I don't want that to take away from the match. The match was absolutely awesome. They just kept going back and forth. Anything you want to say, Cesaro's going to be a jobber, and, I mean, there's a good chance he will be. But, I mean, he can really put on a great show. I mean, I couldn't take my eyes off that match last night. I mean, it was just so – it was a good performance put on by both members. So, I mean, John Cena,
yeah,
you can't match the mic, but very, very good. Very good match. I mean, Cesaro can't – I don't know. I would say he can't lose steam from that match, but I just think his character – the WWE doesn't have them in their best intentions at the moment.
Yeah. And it's really sad just because he has the ability to become a main event guy. He has the ability to become a main event player and to really have fantastic matches. I mean, come on now. We reported at Wrestling.com a few months ago during WrestleMania season that it was even high on the list of a Cesaro and Lesnar match for 31, and just to think of it, wow, like it's just so shocking to even think about Lesnar and Cesaro being a match. And I think that, to be honest with you, as much brute strength and aggression as Cesaro has, it would have been really, really good to see some type of shoot-style-like match, not necessarily MMA-type match, but just two big bulls going at it, Cesaro and Lesnar. I would have really, really liked that match. And it seems like they were teasing it when Heyman went with Cesaro, but unfortunately, the WWE is notorious for pulling the plug on certain angles that they had planned, and they just, you know, pull the rug out of people. They did that with Big E, they did that with Sandow, they did that with Axel, did that with Ryback, and so it's quite sad that the WWE pulls the rug out of people like that, but this is part of the business. Next, we have another Paige in-ring promo and another interruption. It was one thing I noticed about last Raw, and it's something that I'm going to start paying attention to a little bit more. You have an in-ring promo and an interruption. In-ring promo, interruption. In-ring promo, interruption. And I'm going to pay attention to a little bit more on the following roles, but I think that might be a big chunk of the 3 hours that we see. You see a big promo, and then we see more talking, interruption, and then some type of interaction between the two. So our first one was Cena and Cesaro. Cena talks, interrupted by Heyman and Cesaro. Our next one is Paige coming in saying that, you know, she's young and Derek thinks she's hot. Well, she didn't say that, but she was talking about how she's young and, you know, her emotions, you know, can get to her. And then AJ comes out and, you know, they talk about just being frenemies, it seems, and just kind of faking it with each other. And then Paige says crazy, and then AJ does the whole "what did you say" thing, and then they brawl. I think it's. I will say this though, although that was just cheesy to me, I will say that at least the WWE is giving us some type of suspenseful exciting to an extent feud with the Divas, finally. And it's not just some run-of-the-mill, hey, I'm your next contender type of feud. At least they're putting some time and effort in the Divas division now with this. And I still feel the same way as I said last week. I think AJ Lee's on borrowed time. I just don't see her heart in the company like it was. I just don't see it. And she got some face pops one time. She got some heel heat the next time. I really don't think Houston knew what to do, whether to cheer or boo her, because she was kind of playing a heel, she's kind of playing a face. I just don't think AJ Lee's heart's in the company, and I just think she's on borrowed time.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while. And so, I mean, yeah, I understand what you mean with the interruptions and everything that happened last night, because that did happen to few, and I noticed that. And otherwise, frenemies, it's creating excitement within the Divas division. We don't know where AJ stands. We'll just have to take it week by week. Is she there? Is she not? But, I mean, it's obviously it's Boost and Paige, because they're the only two that can really hold a big light at the moment. I mean, I still see the Divas division really making an uprise with the other members. But at the time, these two are the spotlight, so I want to focus on them. They're making it interesting, so let's keep the ball rolling with them.
Indeed. Rey Mysterio was the person who unmasked
him.
He was with Billy. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. I probably need to start doing that more so you don't blurt it out. Next question is, what two belts did Kurt Angle win? Did Kurt Angle have at the same time, and what was he called when he had those titles? What was he called when he had those titles? He was some type of champion. What two belts did he have at the same time, and what was he called? All right, next we have Triple H and Stephanie in ring promo. Calls out Brie Bella. Interrupted by Chris Jericho. Another interruption. Absolutely. We got a comment here. It says from 8 to 10 last night, there are only two matches. Cena and Cesaro on the six-man tag. I think that may be true. I think it was just a matter. Yeah, I think it was like more interruptions. Like what I was saying, I think it was interruptions, talk, interruption, and then the six-man tag was the Usos and Ziggler against Miz and Ryback. So, well, I think, yeah, that's true. It was just two of them. But as far as Stephanie and Triple H, they called out Brie Bella initially. Because of the whole assault and battery thing. And I knew this was leading to a SummerSlam match, but it's interesting how they kind of booked it. They're kind of going a little bit too much with the whole assault and battery thing, but I see what it led to. Stephanie was crying, and so she was playing pretty well. I will say this, though. Stephanie has given us some of her best work this year with the whole Vicky Guerrero thing, getting tossed in the mud. Now she's feuding with Brie Bella. And, you know, I got to give kudos to Stephanie McMahon. And I call her Club Steph when she does those. When there was a couple times where she was dancing very, very party-like, very urban-esque. I'll say that much. When she was saying na 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 to Vicky Guerrero, that was very hilarious. And then when John Cena's music came on when he was unveiled to be on the cover of 2K15, that moment was absolutely classic. It just seems like Stephanie McMahon was at some type of club and she was just ready to like dance with the next person. that she sees, and she had the moves, and she was on beat like it was some type of it was just absolutely hilarious. And I call her Club Steph when I see those moments, and it just really seems like she's having fun with what she does, what she's doing, and I have to give it to her. I really have to give it to her. And like I said before, Chris Jericho interrupted another promo interruption. And then Chris Jericho and the Stephanie exchanges that they had back in 99, 2000, those were absolutely classic. So just to have that 15 years later was just amazing to me. I went totally retro when I saw that moment. And I had all types of thoughts in my head, like, ooh, I wonder would Y2J, I wonder what Chris Jericho versus Triple H at WrestleMania 31 may look like. That was one of the thoughts that was in my head, like Jericho versus Triple H at 31. I was just thinking about it, like that wouldn't be a bad, it definitely wouldn't be a bad match, and it wouldn't be a bad idea either. But reality check, lights come on, fantasy is done when Seth Rollins hits Jericho with the briefcase in a very poor fashion. It seems like he just tapped him with it. And then that leads to Seth Rollins and Jericho for the night. And also in that segment, we got Bray Wyatt versus Jericho confirmed for SummerSlam, which we all know Bray Wyatt's going to win that match.
Eurocontinental.
That is true, but I did not say that you could say it yet. Someone wanted to beat you to it anyways. But, yes, Kurt Angle was the Eurocontinental champion. Good job.
Awesome job. Like I always do. 347-84-8452. Stump me. Stump Chris Featherstone. It'd be harder to stump me.
Impossible. I'll just play a few theme songs and you'll be stumped.
Theme songs, yeah, if your microphone works, crying out loud.
No.
McMahon being arrested. I mean, that was a great angle, and I enjoy it. When was the last time we saw somebody be arrested on Raw? So it was great. I mean, she's putting forth she's trying to be like Vince McMahon, I almost think. She's trying to carry on that Vince McMahon grapefruits attitude, you know, don't cross the bond.
Ruthless aggression.
Yes. So I like to see that. And as far as Y2J and Triple H at WrestleMania, hell hasn't frozen over yet, so I don't think it's going to by that time. I mean, honestly, so it's fantasy land.
You know, yeah, it is, man. It's definitely fantasy land, unfortunately, but I don't think that it'll be a bad idea. I just don't think it'll be a bad idea if we saw that. If we saw that match, I think it will definitely deliver. It definitely has all the ability to be a really, really good match. So, but we got some requests. So we didn't have time to do a full segment of it, but Derek's talking a lot of smack, and we're getting some requests. So without further ado, I think the intern's got something for you, Derek. Here we go.
And then they don't, sometimes they will, sometimes they won't. So I said, hey, baby, you, yeah. Come on. That's a slickster. Or if you want to say it was off team. That is Jive Soul Bro.
There you go. That's the Derek I know. Absolutely. Any excuses on the sound now?
It was a little dingy, but I'm just that good. That's all I can say.
Okay, gotcha. Absolutely. All right. Well, I think we'll keep it at that for now. I might got some requests, but we'll do name that tune next week. All right. Next we have Usos and Ziggler against Miz and Ryback. Good match, and they always put it together. It's for sure. I mean, they always Usos and Ziggler, and at this point, it seems like they're going to do a four-way match because we had the Nation 2.0 out there. Well, first of all, we had them behind the curtains watching the screen, and then they decided to come out and watch, you know, close, you know, and then out near the announcer's table. So, I don't know. And the Miz, and we're talking about the Miz, but the Miz isn't winning many matches after he won the Intercontinental Championship. He lost cleanly last week to Dolph Ziggler. So the crazy thing is they're trying to push this Hollywood Miz character, but he's not even really getting a big push. This is second straight week losing, and I don't know why they're trying to give Ryback another tag team title shot. I mean, I like Ryback as a team. They're needed in the tag team division, but when you have the best matches of the year between the Usos and Harper and Rowan, and then you drop down to Ryback. That's going to be really tough for Ryback. If they're trying to put them in the forefront of the tag team title scene, ooh, it's going to be really tough for them to match up with the series of matches that the Usos and the Wyatts have had.
Yeah, Usos and Wyatt have been a great series of matches. With Ryback, so I like the second breath of fresh air that they're getting. But, yeah, why is The Miz losing so much? It's only because probably he's going to win at SummerSlam, and it'll be by disqualification or some kind of he's going to cheat, something like that, because this whole Hollywood gimmick. So, I mean, it's kind of, for me, that's the blueprint of what usually happens. They lose a ton on Raw, pay-per-views, they're golden. So, I mean, that's kind of what's going on with that. Usos, they've been on a high. They're going to stay on a high. And if the tag team championships get taken away from them, I can see that happening as well because it is the WWE. But at this point, it should, because there's no other tag team out there, I think, that's better than them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think that they should lose the title in a long, long time. We got a tweet here. First Big Show, now Brie. Authority easily gets blackmailed in legal situations where they rehire them. That's a pretty good point there. But Derek, listen, man, I gotta go with the fans. I gotta go with the listeners. I'm gonna try to squeeze in another one here for you and see if you know about this one. Here we go, man. I think this might stump you. It shouldn't, but I definitely think that you should be able to get this one for sure. So, without further ado. Here's a hint. His finisher move name is the same. It's the same name as where he was born.
Ahmed Johnson.
Ah, Pearl River Powerhouse, Ahmed Johnson. The Pearl River Plunge.
Ahmed Johnson, indeed, man. That guy. Where's Ahmed Johnson these days, man? I saw a picture of him like about a year or two ago. Man, I mean, he's probably easy 400 pounds, easy. And,
he's pretty big guy.
Really. Yeah, well, at least he was muscular back in 97. At least he was muscular. But when he went to the WCW, was Big T, I think he was. Yeah, Big T. Oh, it was rough then. And then what made it even worse was just it just seems like he just needed a check, and it was really sad, really, really sad. Next we have R-Truth defeating Bo Dallas. Bo Dallas loses his first loss. We were talking about just streaks before in the beginning of the show, and Bo Dallas, his streak, they made all this ruckus and all this, you know, talk about the streak of Bo Dallas, only for him to lose against, I mean, no disrespect, I really like the guy, but R-Truth, and I'm saying this not because of R-Truth, I'm saying this because of how they're booking R-Truth. R-Truth has been just drowning in the mid-card for quite some time now, ever since his Little Jimmy angle was done and over with. And so they chose R-Truth to beat Bo Dallas, I think, and he got the snot beat out of him afterwards, though. So I'm kind of thinking they may be tying this in with the Kofi Kingston type of angle, where he's beating people, he's beating, you know, suitable, recognized mid-carders and then getting beat up afterwards. It seems like we'll see R-Truth and Nation 2.0 soon.
Yeah, it only makes perfect sense. So start the room, Nation. And, I mean, that was the only reason. I can really see that. Bo Dallas finally losing, it wasn't that big of a deal to me, but it was kind of nice to see Bo Dallas finally break loose, and instead of being this puffy, pretty boy dandy. I mean, he actually put some effort into beating up R-Truth, so. Yeah, maybe we see a turning point for Bo Dallas, and a definite heel turn, or at least to see something harder, but I don't think. I mean, what can he do? Waylon Mercy was tough, but Bo Dallas.
Yeah, he's the new age. He's the new version of Waylon Mercy. Got another one for you, Derek. Here we go.
Give me a hint. A hint.
Skull.
Oh. I don't know. It's probably one of your random GWF things.
You're kidding. We're going to have some more review. We're going to have some more negative reviews for Derek on the show. Papa Shango, Derek, come on.
Oh, geez,
Papa Shango. Disciples of Apocalypse had that type of theme song. Ladies and gentlemen, those very, very many listeners of the Pancakes and Power Slam show Derek said that the Papa Shango theme somehow has some type of relevance and similarity to anything related to the Disciples of Apocalypse that was not endorsed at all by Chris Featherstone. Just a disclaimer there. All right, we're going to save the rest of the themes for next week because I definitely want to spend some time talking about this total nonstop action craziness that we got the past couple of days. Next, we have Rusev with Lana in the ring. Lana cuts a promo, interrupted by Swagger and Zeb Coulter. Coulter calls Lana and Rusev all types of stuff, which is funny. And then he talks about we the people, what makes America America. This leads to a Rusev and Swagger brawl. Swagger gets the upper hand. And so I kind of caught this, but not really, because I was thinking about, I think I said this on the show, a Big E versus Rusev flag match for SummerSlam when they were having their feud a couple months ago. But it makes much more sense. I like Big E. Many people know I'm a big fan of Big E, but it makes much more sense for Jack Swagger to be the guy to go against Rusev in a America versus Russia type feud. It makes perfect sense. And this face run for Swagger, I think I've said this before, the face run for Swagger is great for now, but I just don't see anything going with it after this is over. And that's really sad to me, too, because I really think that he has an ability to become a really, really strong babyface. But unfortunately, I'm not gonna hold my hopes up high when it comes to Jack Swagger being relevant after this feud. However, I will say this, though. They may have a flag match, and they may have Jack Swagger win just for the sake of it being a gimmick match and Rusev not being pinned. Now, that may be something that could be doable. Rusev didn't get pinned, so that doesn't really, you know, Michael Cole and King and JBL, they can always turn it over to unpinned. So that could work. And then what happens after that? Then they go against each other again at Night of Champions. So I don't know how that's going to happen. I just think that the next few months we're going to see a bunch of rematches because Creative is doing such a lousy job with giving us new and fresh angles that's not like 2 months old. So, and I think it's going to be worse. I think we're going to get more rematches with the exception of Lesnar-Cena, although we may get Lesnar-Cena at Night of Champions again. We may get that. But other than that, I'm hoping that we'll see something, some fresh angles coming up. Now, we got Miz and Ziggler, which is going to be good. It's going to be a good match, but I don't think it's going to be not predictable. I don't think it's going to be unpredictable. So, I don't know. Now I'm wondering, Sheamus had the flu and he'll be back. Who's going to go against Sheamus? I was hoping it to be Rusev and Rusev win the title and rename it the Russian heavyweight champion like Lance Storm did with the Canadian heavyweight championship. So who would be a good U.S. champion U.S. Championship opponent for Sheamus at SummerSlam?
Well, that's a lot of questions. And, you know, the thing about Rusev and Swagger, it is getting old. I'm already kind of bored with it. I mean, they just sit there and talk and talk and talk, especially with the Rusev side, it's boring. I'm kind of tired of it. I love his theme song. His theme song captivates. But it just gets old.
Yeah,
you see Zeb Coulter come up there, and I just remember when everyone hated Zeb Coulter, when he had Cesaro, when he had Swagger, and everyone loves him. He's a lovable. He's like everyone's grandpa. He's like Uncle Sam.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He is like everyone's grandpa. They hate him, and then he give him a few bucks, and they're like, "Oh, I love grandpa."
Exactly, and it's stupid. It's apple pie, but it's apple pie with a worm in it.
A la mode, but the ice cream is frostbitten.
It's frostbitten.
Or has a.
It's just all talk, and it's so. I mean, it's more talk than there's actual wrestling. And I would rather see the wrestling than talk, because both of them can pretty much carry themselves. Swagger being a baby face, yeah, it's not going to last, especially just because he has a doofy looking face. Rusev, he's just like a brute. I don't know what much he can do. I mean, to me, he's still Ivan Drago from
Rocky
IV.
Yeah.
So, but you know, with everything, I mean, and then James wrestle at SummerSlam. That's an open-end question. Wow. But
who would you book?
William Regal, but that's not in the book. I could almost see them trying to push Bo Dallas to do something like that.
Yeah,
especially
that's exactly what I was thinking of.
With his heel turn that he just happened, where he just cut loose, I think Bo Dallas would be a good fit. Or at least I think that's what WWE created with Bane.
Yep, I totally agree. I think that Bo Dallas is the guy as far as vying for that other mid-card championship, because there's not really many strong mid-card heels at this point. I mean, you know, maybe you'll do some type of a nation type thing. I'm not too sold on that. But I think Bo Dallas would be the person, although I'm not sold on Bo Dallas. I'm just not sold. I wish that Damian Sandow actually was an actual, I wish that he was an actual character, because I would love to see a Sandow Sheamus feud for the U.S. title, but he's Charlie Haas 2.0 and just a failure at it. And speaking of that, he lost against Diego, who came out with Summer Rae and Layla. Damian Sandow lost against Adam Rose. Your boy, we'll talk about Diego. I'm sure you didn't like that. But Damian Sandow, he came out as some type of moon astronaut. It's ridiculous to me. He's getting TV exposure, but is that really the type of exposure that he's really wanting? It's hard for me to think about him being in the back, him coming to work every day, and being such a laughingstock of the company, and losing every match, and coming out dressed as a different type of ridiculous something every week. He was an astronaut this week, and it's... First of all, that whole thing, that whole gimmick of being someone else, that's incredibly stale. And yes, he gets exposure, but it's the type of exposure like, oh no, here's Sandow again. And man, I think that Sandow has taken the biggest plunge within the past 2 years. I mean, this guy won the Money in the Bank 2 years ago. Well, actually, he won the Money in the Bank last year and had a, you know, world title match with John Cena, World Heavyweight Championship match with John Cena. So the past year, he won the Money in the Bank in July, had a world title match with John Cena, lost. So he was the first person who actually got pinned. But when he cashed his Money in the Bank, John Cena lost the year before. He lost by disqualification. But he lost in what was it? He lost in 2012 because he went against He casted against, was it Punk? I'm trying to figure out, for those Twitter chat room.
I would think it was.
What's that?
I would think it was Punk.
He casted against Punk for Raw 1000. That's what it was. And he lost by disqualification. Well, he won by disqualification because that was something. It was a disqualification victory.
Hold on.
Have
the interns get a Damian Sandow on the phone. We got his number. Get him on speed dial.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure he's waiting for a call here. Because he won't be treated the same as he is in the WWE. That's for sure. We'll treat him with more respect than the WWE does. That's for sure. Yeah, it was CM Punk. It was Raw 1000. Actually, we're getting a tweet. It probably is.
Damien.
What's that?
Is it Damien Sandow tweeting?
Yeah. It was Damien Sandow. Yeah, Damien Sandow. It was Raw 1000. It was John Cena. He lost. Well, he failed to win the title. That was the big thing. It was for the WWE Championship. And it was a disqualification victory, but it wasn't for the title. So Damon Sandow was the first person to get pinned while cashing the Money in the Bank briefcase, and that's really, really sad. And I don't even know why he won it. Now, that's the thing. I don't even know why he won the Money in the Bank. It's just absolutely ridiculous. I remember when he won it, I was absolutely shocked. Like, why in the world would Damian Sandow win? You know, Cena won the match, but CM Punk won. CM Punk lost by disqualification, so the title didn't change hands. So I guess essentially Sandow was the only person to lose when he cashed in the Money in the Bank. So, I think he's taken the biggest plunge in the past year, more than any wrestler. Now Ryback took a big plunge. There's a number of wrestlers that's taken a big plunge in the past few years. Zack Ryder is another one of them. But Damian Sandow, from winning the Money in the Bank and being the number one contender of a world title last year to dressing as an astronaut, that's a big plunge.
That's a big plunge. And Damian Sandow, I mean, it's like, what do you think about him? You think of someone like CM Punk who just willingly quit the WWE at the height of his fame. And for him to look at someone like Damon Sandow, what he's still doing there when they're making me look like a fool every week. And, you know, I guess I don't know what to say about it because it's, I mean, Damon Sandow is a legitimate wrestler, I think. I mean, he can show his stuff. He has. But now it's a joke, and I don't even really want to see it. It's filler. But Damon Sandow deserves a lot better. But he's also doing this, so maybe he's good at that. Or maybe he did something backstage and they're upset with him, so they're just making him look like an idiot every week. So there's always that involved.
Yeah.
I mean, he could have done something late or made out with somebody's girlfriend. Who knows?
I mean, those scenarios are true, but here's the thing, though. I write for four websites. I write for Wrestling Inc., What Culture, WeAreWrestling.net and Bleacher Report. And so I hear all types of reports. I get reports, sent to me from sources. And so none of the reports that I've heard, none of the reports that I've gotten sent to me, none of the sources that the good sources, none of them have said anything about Damian Sandow, affecting Damian Sandow doing something in the back to cause where he is now. We got a tweet that CM Punk, John Cena lost. CM Punk lost by disqualification that year in 2012 at Raw 1000. He lost by disqualification. And we also got another tweet. It was a good question that was asked, actually, that we're going to get to. But yeah, I just don't know what's up with Swagger. I mean, this guy should quit. The tweet we got: if Daniel Bryan can come back healthy by the end of the year, which guy gets a title run first, Bryan or Reigns? It's a really good question. I would prefer, well, this is what I think is going to happen. The answer is Daniel Bryan, because Daniel Bryan is an established star, and they still need to work on Roman Reigns. And the question was by the end of the year. I totally don't think that Roman Reigns is going to have a world title run by the end of the year. Daniel Bryan has a much better chance of winning the world title, because he's going to get that comeback pop along with the Yes Chants that still are alive. So he's going to be Roman Reigns. Daniel Bryan is already going to be in the hot seat for drawing money, because he's going to come back and it's going to be easy for him to draw. Now, they're still working on Roman Reigns, and I definitely don't think that 4 months would – I don't think that 4 months would suffice. I don't think that 5 months would be good enough to really build Roman Reigns to be a top draw, a money-making draw. I don't see that. I do see come WrestleMania time. And I'm telling you, I really want to see Reigns versus Cena at WrestleMania 31. We have to see Reigns versus Cena at WrestleMania 31, because to be honest with you, I think that has Hogan Rock implications, not for the ovation, not for the Toronto ovation, of course. Of course not that. But the reason why I say that is because I think it is a torch passing moment. I think that would be the ultimate torch passing moment if we see Reigns versus Cena at WrestleMania and Reigns win the title. Now, I would totally be okay with that. I just think that Reigns should have WrestleMania isn't till, a little bit over 8 months away. So give them some time. Give them 8 months. 8 months is good. 8 months is a good time to really hone in and work on your character. They did it with The Rock. They did it with Angle. They did it with Triple H. So 8 months is a good time to really hone in your character. And they should do that with Roman Reigns, in addition to the time that he's already had of really working on his character. Give the guy a mid-card title. I'm going to say this until I'm blue in the face. Give him a mid-card title. Do not prematurely put on a world title on him. That will just be to the demise of his career. It would be absolutely horrible. Do not do that. Give him a mid-card title. So my answer is Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan's a perfect pick, because, I mean, with Reigns, you don't want to give too much exposure. We've talked about that so many times on this show. And overexposure just kills your character and just makes everybody sick of you. Creative wants to do so much stuff as far as change your character, change your face, heel face, and you just don't know, you lose your identity. So with that in mind, let's keep Roman Reigns. He's got a big potential. He's got a big future. And I think him against Cena would draw a big crowd if it's not done prematurely. WrestleMania, that seems like a long time away. If they keep Reigns fresh, hungry, that's going to be a legitimate match. And I can almost see like a Rock Hogan. Not too much Rock Hogan, but that would put money on the bill. That would put butts in the seats. People would want to see that. Totally in for that. 347-848-4452. Give us your opinions. Let us know.
Next we have... Yeah, we already talked about that. I just wanted to do Adam Rose. Because, like, Adam Rose is the man. I'm still a Rosebud, man. I like Adam Rose. I know that they are toning down his character, they're toning down his exposure. But as long as my son keeps, you know, humming that tune, and as long as he does that, I'm gonna be an Adam Rose fan. My son liking Adam Rose is good enough for me. Now, if you like John Cena, I still wouldn't be a John Cena fan, but the fact that he likes Adam Rose and he smiles and he'll be 2 in September. And so the very fact that he has a very good inclination of music and does the theme song so amazingly, I'm going to be an Adam Rose fan, and that's the way it is.
Adam Rose is a cheap ripoff of Fandango. And Fandango has been given a really bad rap.
How is he a cheap ripoff of Fandango, and he's more over than Fandango?
Well, he's more over Fandango. I remember a couple years ago, Fandango beat Y2J. That's a pretty big deal.
And then lost at Extreme Rules, and then was nobody after that. He had a It wasn't bad booking. It was bad booking to make him beat Chris Jericho at WrestleMania. That's bad booking. He didn't even establish himself as a character, and his first match was defeating Chris Jericho.
I'm on your side. It was bad booking. We agree. Fandango was bad booked. He's got so much more to prove.
He was badly booked then. He's
just another dancer party guy.
You like Adam Rose. You know that the inner
I do. I like Adam.
In you.
I like Adam Rose, but still I see a Fandango wannabe. Ooh.
No. He's not a Fandango wannabe. There's no way that he's a Fandango wannabe, because I wouldn't be someone who I am more over than. That makes absolutely no sense. That's like Randy Orton saying that he wants to be Xavier Woods. I mean, that's just not plausible. That's just not probable. You wouldn't
Can
say
I agree?
I'm going to be fine.
Would be plausible to compare that to Fandango. So I'm on your side. I agree. All right.
Yeah.
So what's that?
Yeah, you agree that Fandango was a bad project from the beginning and now proves it. All right. Next we have the Roman Reigns versus Kane match. We have, and that really that just leads to Randy Orton beating the snot out of him. Out of Roman Reigns. And, of course, we needed this moment before SummerSlam just to make Roman Reigns look more like a, you know, overcomer by beating Orton at SummerSlam. I mean, that's exactly what I got from that.
Yeah, that's exactly what you got. Orton's a punk. Never did care for Orton. I'm going to stick with that. So I love his theme music, though. I really do have to say that he's got great theme songs. Even though you don't like the choice of theme songs you pick, for crying out loud.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't give you a Randy Orton theme song for trivia. It just makes absolutely no sense. Because Randy Orton's theme song is it's current. I'm not going to give you a current theme song for trivia. I'm going to give you something from the 80s and the 90s. because you tout yourself as this big wrestling guru, and
I am. Are you kidding me?
And you don't even know theme songs. So you were watching. You were as a kid. You were watching wrestling in the 80s and the 90s, and from the horrible guessing rate that you had of the theme songs. This is what, ladies and gentlemen, the Pancakes and Power Slams universe. This is what I can imagine Derek being like as a kid. Bret Hart's theme song comes on, dun 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 dun, boom dum bam dum bam, boom dum bam dum bam. And so what happens is he doesn't know the theme song. He's like, oh, I don't know who that is. And then Bret Hart comes out, and then that's when he marks out. He doesn't mark out when the theme song come on. He marks out when the actual wrestler comes out. And so maybe a delayed reaction there. I don't know.
Ahmed. Come on.
Yes, Ahmed Johnson. Come on now. I think that any wrestling fan would know, any true wrestling fan would know Ahmed Johnson. I know that everybody who's listening, everybody who's going to listen to this through all the media outlets, We Are Wrestling, Wrestling, iTunes, you name it. I know that people, because here's the thing. We get a bunch of live listeners, and we get a bunch of people who listen after the show through the media outlets, too. And the crazy thing is I get the tweets during the show, but I get a flood of Facebook messages, a flood of emails, a flood of messages during the week about the show, and that Name That Tune show was absolutely, the responses I got was absolutely hilarious. It was incredibly funny, and I think I might get similar to that now. Diego versus Fandango, we already talked about that. Naomi and Natalya defeating Cameron and Alicia Fox, nothing big there. Y2J defeating Seth Rollins by DQ, good match. I knew it was going to be a good match. But, of course, we get Bray Wyatt coming out and being on the aggressive side, being on the offense leading to a match where he's going to win. That's why I don't understand. How are you going to protect Jericho's character and make him look like a credible person to put over Bray Wyatt? Because this isn't just a simple name thing. This isn't a matter of Bray Wyatt going over Chris Jericho because Chris Jericho has a legendary name. No, that doesn't work anymore. Chris Jericho is going to have to protect his character. Now, from what I'm seeing, he beat Bray Wyatt on SmackDown before a couple weeks ago, and this week I'm sure he's going to beat Eric Rowan. He beat Luke Harper on SmackDown a couple weeks ago. He's most likely going to beat Eric Rowan this week, so he's beating the Wyatt family to lose to Bray. I can understand that. So I think CM Punk did the same thing, or Daniel Bryan did the same thing. It was because I think it was Rowan and Harper against Punk and Daniel Bryan at Survivor Series last year, and then Royal Rumble was Bray and Daniel Bryan, and Daniel Bryan went through Rowan and Harper just like Jericho did. Jericho's doing, and he's just going to lose the match. I mean, that's just really what it's going to boil down to. And so you're booking him, you're protecting his character by having him beating Rowan and Harper. I'm not buying it.
Hey, I'm not buying it. He can beat Rowan and Harper every day of the night, but when you go against Bray Wyatt, that's a totally different ballgame. It's a different story.
Exactly.
I don't think YCA has the momentum behind him, or the WWE doesn't have enough juice behind this guy, and that's just a total shame. But it's an okay feud. I see it, but I don't get it, because I think Y2J deserves so much better. But it is giving the Wyatts a little bit more exposure, better exposure. I mean, they're done with John Cena, obviously, because nothing's come out of that. It was kind of a dead angle to begin with. with. So why not pick on Chris Jericho and see where that goes?
Absolutely nothing came out of that. That was totally just what in the world happened with that. It was absolutely horrible. All right, next we have the main event, I guess you can say. We have Brie Bella coming out. Stephanie cuts a promo. This leads to a match at SummerSlam. Interesting how they book it, but I'm actually looking forward to this match because, I mean, Stephanie hasn't been in the ring for 10 years, and so it'll be very, very interesting to see, you know, 37, 38 years old now, this Steph compared to late 20s Steph, you know, 10 years ago. So it'll be very, very interesting to see, you know, this Stephanie McMahon these days. It'll be very interesting to see this match. And I'm actually looking forward to it to see how it, pans out.
Yeah, it pans out. They actually, on Monday Night Raw, they put a Divas confrontation for, like, the last 10 minutes of the show. When was the last time we ever saw that? Probably not since Sable and Sunny and back then.
Well, the main event of a Raw was Trish and Lita before. I think that's probably the last, you know, Diva-style something that we saw.
Okay, well, thanks, Chris Featherstone, you encyclopedia. But anyway.
Yeah, well, you're welcome.
It's been a long time. But the Divas division, like I've said throughout the last few weeks, that they kind of deserve the spotlight. I wasn't against it. I thought it was great. And have Stephanie step into the ring. It almost reminds me of, again, like I said earlier, when Stephanie's trying to mock her father, mock Vince McMahon. When Vince McMahon was up against Stone Cold. Remember that? When you said you could beat me with one hand tied behind your back.
Yeah.
And so I can kind of see something like this happening, and it's kind of like history repeats itself. So it wasn't a bad ending to the Raw, but, I mean, we got a lot more to talk about. 90 minutes is never enough. TNA.
I agree.
TNA.
Next week we'll go through the list of TNA World Heavyweight Champions. I mean, most of them... that's the thing. There's two sections of champions. There's the NWA World Champions from 2002 to 2007 when TNA was under the NWA umbrella, which may have been It may have been a bad thing for them to get away from that. But I understand how they wanted their own independent company and not being an NWA company. I understand. But it was 2007 when TNA became its own entity, and that a lot of the initial champions were Kurt Angle, Sting, Foley, you know, so Christian. So all of them have been world champions in the WWE. But there's been... some people like AJ Styles, which we'll talk about, Bobby Roode, we'll talk about Chris Sabin, Bully Ray, all of them have, James Storm, Austin Aries, all of them have been champions too in TNA, and next week we'll talk about if they would be champions or credible champions in the WWE as well. So, it was announced a couple days ago that the relationship between TNA, Total Nonstop Action, and Spike TV, effective October, will be terminated. And they wanted to have, you know, an alternative. Spike offered them a deal. They liked what they saw initially. One of the biggest... you know, they had 2006, I believe, is when Kurt Angle came to TNA. And 06, 07, I think it was around 06, when Kurt Angle came to TNA. And I think that, you know, him, Sting came around. Sting came to TNA in the mid 2000s. So I, you know, having those type of names affiliated with TNA really helped Spike. And then when Hogan came in about four or five years ago, that really helped. So Spike, you know, they kept the deal with TNA for so long, but they just weren't giving them what they needed in return. And then Hogan left, and that really, I mean, as much as Hogan is not, you know, any of any big worth for us, you know, wrestling fans now, you know, nowadays, nowadays, you still have the big wigs that knew about Hulk Hogan. And so those are the people at Spike TV. Oh, yeah, Hulk Hogan, that guy. Yeah, we'll keep TNA. But Hogan's gone now. So, and then we also reported on wrestling.com, you know, through F4W, that Vince Russo was secretly working with TNA still, and Spike didn't like Vince Russo. So regardless, we're running out of time, but regardless of what it is, TNA is a sinking ship. It's been trying to claw out of the quicksand for quite some time now, but if they don't get this TV deal, they might have to hang it up.
Yeah, they'll have to hang it up. And I think they will get another TV deal. I'm not sure from who, maybe TNT, WGN. I mean, there's a lot of stations out there that would probably pick them up. Probably not put them in the time slot they were in with the Fight TV, but, I mean, something similar. They've got enough pull. I mean, I think somebody's going to pick them up. And if they don't, then too bad for them. That's just another breeding ground for Vince McMahon to pick up a few chosen ones and let the rest of them go off on their way. So I think someone's going to pick them up. I really do.
I hope that, because I think it was about a year ago or so, ESPN2 was a candidate of potentially picking them up. And I would love that, just because I'm a traditionalist, I'm old school, just like you are, and many people know that GWF back in the early 90s, it was on ESPN, and that, you know, it's been 20 years since we had a wrestling show on ESPN, with the exception of recently the GWF Classics. But just a weekly episodic wrestling show, that was, I mean, it was 20 years ago. So, but we're running out of time. Next week we'll pick up TNA as far as which wrestlers would fare well as top guys and championship worthy in the WWE. But as always, fantastic show. Thanks for all the tweet involvement. Thanks for all the chat room involvement. Derek fails again. Named a tune. We'll pick that back up next week. It wasn't as bad as the other week.
Yeah.
At least he got slick right. But we'll, every week as we do, 122 shows, we're about to go ahead and close the book on 122. 123 is going to be just as fun. So be here next week, 11 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States. For those who are listening in different countries, you know your own time zones that I'm not going to monitor. But thank you for listening. We definitely have gotten some reports from other countries, and thank you so much for listening. But thank you for all your support. And until next week, be sure to go to Crave Wrestling and all the people who have given me opportunities in the past 2.5 years that I've been affiliated with, radio talk show, Bleacher Report, Wrestling Inc., We Are Wrestling, and What Culture. All four of those are great sites to write for, and I'm pleased to do that. Follow at Crave Wrestling, and any thoughts, any inquiries, Retro Wednesday topics for Wrestling Inc., Go to cravewrestling@gmail.com. If you also want to give, we've got some donations for, you know, to continue to build the site and to build the show. So thank you so much. Appreciate you. Until next week, enjoy your week of wrestling. Daddy loves Elijah, and God bless. Next week, we shall be here. Goodbye.